welcome to Addressing Alaskans, a program capturing community conversations in South Central Alaska. Join us each week on KSKA Anchorage and travel to different spots throughout our community to listen to local groups gathered to discuss what matters to Alaskans. This week, Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan. Recorded at the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce on Monday, listen to Mayor Sullivan's State of the City Address coming up next on Addressing Alaskans after the news. This is KSKA Anchorage, and you're listening to Addressing Alaskans with Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan. He was recorded speaking at the Anchorage Chamber on Monday, August 20th.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce Make It Monday Forum. My name is Bruce Bustamante. I'm chairman of the board for only about another 2 weeks, but I certainly welcome you to today's forum. And also, I'm the Vice President of Community and Public Affairs for Princess Cruises, based here in Anchorage. And today it's our pleasure to have Mayor Dan Sullivan here to deliver his annual State of the City Address and give an overview of the city's finances and what his administration is working towards in the next year. Mayor Dan Sullivan was elected chair of the Anchorage Assembly in 2006, and overall, he served his tenure of 9 years on the Assembly. He is the founder and co-owner of McGinley's Pub in downtown Anchorage. Since 1986, he has also been a small business owner of Sullivan & Associates, a firm that specializes in government relations and business development consulting. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our mayor, Dan Sullivan.
Thank you, Bruce. An honor to be here, and as always, it is a great day to be in Anchorage, Alaska. Part of the great thing about being mayor is you get to do things like what happened over the weekend, where I got to welcome the Nanaka Valley world champion 12 and 14-year-old softball team back to Anchorage. It was amazing, amazing, amazing. I mean, to think that these girls who've steadily moved up the ranks in softball, they made the semis last year, they got to the finals, or to the World Series the year before, and this year to be world champions. The parents and the friends who greeted them yesterday, just one of those moments that you'll remember forever, and I know those girls will. So, again, and then we also had the big wildlife marathon and half marathon over the weekend, and the kids walk right out here on the park strip. Over 800 kids out there doing a 2K walk with their parents, and I don't think there was a single kid there that didn't just love being there. There were big smiles on their faces, and again, it just reminds us again what a great city we live in. Somebody told me a mayor's joke. I thought I'd share it. Preacher wakes up one morning and there's a dead donkey on his lawn. And so he calls the sanitation department, no response. Calls the health department, no response. Calls the fire department, no response. Calls just every agency he can think of, no response. So finally, he tracks down the mayor's number and calls up the mayor. The mayor was in kind of a bad mood, and he goes, "Well, what the heck are you calling me for? You're a preacher. You're in charge of burying things." He goes, "I'll bury the donkey. I just thought I should notify the next of kin." That's my mayor joke for the day. Excited to tell you about what's going on in our city. A lot of the information you're going to receive is information that is updates on things that I've reported to you before. We've got any number of projects, any number of initiatives going on that we continually move forward on, and so I'll be updating you on some and some new information on others. The first thing I wanted to do was go to some of the slides that we showed at the AEDC luncheon, just to refresh everybody about how the rest of the world is perceiving us now and some of the accolades that we're receiving. Forbes has named us the number one city for jobs. We've got such a nice diversified economy, plus the investment from our state. Healthcare, of course, is continually an expanding industry, and so a great accolade to know that throughout the country we're considered to be a great place for jobs. The livability.com, of course, said we're the number one city in America for all the different winter recreation activities that we have. as well as our low unemployment and affordable housing, makes us a terrific place to be a winter city. And of course, the Fur Rendezvous this last year was named by National Geographic the number one winter festival in the entire world. So real pleased about that accolade. And then, of course, overall, Bloomberg's Business Week said we're the 10th best city in all of America to live, work, and play. So some of the things they look at, of course, are beautiful parks, our air quality, low unemployment, low crime rates, just all the things that make for a great city. So we're real proud of those. And one of the things that I guess reinforces that is the fact that you as voters have invested in your city through the bonds that we put forth over the last several years in April. The fact that you vote yes to improve our city, to maintain our critical assets, really shows that you do indeed invest in your community, you love where you live, and when people vote with their pocketbooks to improve their community, it really says a lot. And our legislators have also, the Anchorage legislators have really done yeoman's work over the last couple of years, making sure that the critical infrastructure of our city, our roads, our Project 80s projects, our parks, do get the attention they deserve. And I see some legislators in the audience, Cherise Millett, and if there's any others that I'm not seeing. But again, thank you for your investment in your community. The public safety side, obviously, job number one is public safety. We've tried to keep up a strong commitment. In 2012, we just recently had a police academy. I think we have 28 new sworn officers as a result of the academy. Some of them are in attendance here today, and appreciate the work they do. We also received funding for in-car video and license plate recognition. We've got funding for our police training center roof replacement. And phase two, we're starting to finish a project out in Birchwood, our South Central Law Enforcement Tactical Range, which when completed will be a training facility literally for the whole state. All the various agencies that do tactical training will be able to use this facility, so it truly will be a statewide asset. And of course, on the fire department side, we've got two new stations coming in, and we've added fire equipment as well. The Muldoon station is just about ready to dedicate, and if you've driven down McRae Road lately, you'll see that the Station 5, the Spinard Fire Station, is no longer there. We're building a new one. It was literally obsolete. They're using the National Guard, the old National Guard Armory, as a temporary station in the meantime. As you saw this summer, our Parks Department, with ever diminishing resources, is just doing a tremendous job. I don't think our city has ever looked as beautiful as it has this summer. The various flower displays were just tremendous. We're keeping up the youth employment in the parks program. We've employed over 200 kids since the program began a few years ago. And overall, we, I think, improved 8 neighborhood parks this year. We had, this is the fifth year, over $3 million in investment in our neighborhood parks. And got to give a shout out to the Anchorage Parks Foundation because they do a great job of taking monies from the state, money from bonds that you approve, leveraging it with grants from groups like the Rasmussen Foundation, and it really a tremendous effort to keep our parks improved. It's one of the reasons we live here. We like the quality of life. We like our parks. Some of the ones that are the bigger projects, Kincaid Stadium is now soccer central for Anchorage, Alaska. Numerous new soccer fields out there. We're finishing all that construction. As we did last year, Coastal Trail rehabilitation. If you've been on the sections that have been improved, it's an amazing difference, and we're going to continue that effort in the years ahead. We want to make sure the Coastal Trail remains the jewel it is, and the only way to do that is to maintain it. And when it gets to where the frost heaves and the roots no longer make it passable, it's our responsibility to redo it, and the work has been tremendous so far. Russian Jack Springs Park Playground, Lanieri Park Tennis Courts, some really nice projects this year. And again, appreciate everybody's investment in that. One of the things that, of course, is keen on our list to get completed is the port expansion project. Since we've been in office, we've spent literally the whole time looking at what had gone wrong with the construction before we came on board and trying to find the path forward. One of the things that we've done, of course, is 2 years worth of undoing some work, seeing where the damage is, and we're waiting right now on a Corps of Engineers report, which should be due out in just a month here, which is going to tell us kind of the answers we need to keep moving this project forward, including a key one, which is whether or not the existing design is the right design for the project, particularly as we scale this project down. The legislature, I think, really appreciated the fact that we've done our due diligence. We are doing all the things that are necessary in order to make sure that as we move forward, we're doing it the right way and doing it the most cost-effective way. We did receive a $50 million grant from the legislature, and on the bonds this fall, the state bonds, you're going to have the opportunity to vote on projects around the state, including $48.5 million in bonding for the Port of Anchorage. So this critical piece of infrastructure, maybe the most important asset in the state, has gotten the support of the legislature and the governor. We appreciate that, and we hope that here, literally just in 30 days or so, we can start the planning on how to complete this project and do it right. So there probably won't be any construction in 2013, but we will be doing the design work, which will lay the groundwork for how we do move forward on the project. And the picture you see there is the sheet pile design, which is the north end of the port. A lot of it is good work. We've been able to reclaim some of the damaged sections, and regardless of whether this design continues as the design, this north end will be very functional for both dry barge, wet barge, and for lay down. When you see big projects like gas pipelines and stuff, you need areas to lay down pipe and big stuff. And so this will be, even if, again, if this design does not move forward, this will still be a very useful port of the, part of the port. And so the money that was invested in it will not be wasted money. It'll be very, very practical use. One of the things we're extremely excited about is the landfill gas project. Just a couple years ago, we started going out for RFPs on developing a utility there at our landfill because it has a tremendous natural methane gas resource. And just a year ago, we entered into an agreement with Doyon Utilities, and in 1 year's time, they have constructed a four-generator system out there to take the methane gas and turn it into electricity. And that electricity is going to be sold to J-Bear, Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson, and it can provide up to 80% of their electrical needs in the summer, up to 55% of their electrical needs in the winter. And this is a tremendous renewable resource because something tells me we're going to keep producing garbage, just an intuition I have. So as we keep producing garbage and we keep mining that that methane, they've already discovered that the resource is large enough that the four-generator project is probably going to go to a five-generator project so they can maximize the methane that's available. One of the great things about this project is J-Bear, like all the military bases, has been asked to develop a greener operating structure. And so this project alone allows J-Bear to accomplish 700% of the goal that they were set in terms of finding more efficient use of power and being a green base. So this really is a tremendous project for J-Bear and for Anchorage. Revenue expected to be $51 million over the 20-year contract, only project of its kind in the entire military Pacific region. And again, as far as renewable projects go, just you probably couldn't have a more practical and more useful one. In the picture there is, you've got me, and then that's Colonel Duffy from the Elmendorf, and Mr. I forget his name now. Anyway, from Doyon Utilities, and we're all pushing the button that actually kicks off the generators, but it was probably more symbolic because actually we'll be going online in mid-September with the production, so very excited. Economic development, we're still working on some projects, and they're moving forward. The state legislature was, benevolent and gave us a $4 million grant to keep our Ship Creek development project moving forward. With those monies, we're going to do a couple different things. We're going to master plan the area, but we're also going to do the shore stabilizations, the trail enhancements, fishing platforms, all those things that will make this a much more accessible, much more usable resource. And if you've driven down there the last couple days, you can see there's no shortage of people down there fishing for silver salmon. But it does need improvements to make sure that it doesn't get loved to death. And when a lot of people are heading up and down those banks and accessing, it needs to be done safer, and it needs to be done in a way where we actually don't damage the resource over time. So that's our goal, is to make this really a world-class, accessible, useful asset for the city of Anchorage. And again, not very many places have a salmon stream with king salmon and silver salmon running through the middle of their town. So we want to make sure that we develop it to its best and highest use. One of the things we're looking at is 9th and L Street, or Division of Health and Human Services building, has reached the end of its functional life. In fact, it's probably long past it, and we're looking for options to replace the building either on-site or possibly at another location. We did receive some bids. Our initial analysis was that the bids were too expensive, and so we didn't move forward with the first round of opportunity, but we're still investigating all opportunities. In fact, we've been given a presentation by some developers on a possibility out in Glen Square. We're evaluating that, and we also have some municipal property that we're looking at. And this will be one of the items that we will be working with our legislators on this session. We do think that this is a critical piece of infrastructure, and again, because Anchorage, being the hub that we are, a facility like this actually serves far more than just the residents of Anchorage. It really does become a regional facility, and so we're hoping that we can work with our legislators and get some support for this. One of the ones that, if you've driven down Spinard Road lately on your way to the airport, you'll see a big sign that says for sale. The old National Guard Armory on Spinard Road, just past the Millennium Hotel, has been a municipal property for a number of years, unused for a number of years, although right now we're using it as our temporary fire station for the Spinard Fire Station. But it is up for sale. We're accepting offers, and so we'll see what kind of offers we get. And again, part of our goal, if we have unused municipal property, we want to get it in the hands of the private sector, and we want to get those wonderful tax revenues that come from having it in private hands. So we've got a couple really good projects that we hope we can keep moving forward. Each one of them, again, over the last couple years, as we've taken the steps to analyze whether they have municipal need, how can we improve them, how can we fund them, and so each one is moving forward. We keep working on efficiency measures throughout the city. We just, some months ago, received a CH2M Hill study that we commissioned to look at, do we manage our facilities, do we manage our fleet in the most efficient manner possible? CH2M Hill was a good contractor on this. They manage 1,000 pieces of equipment on the North Slope. They do similar work in many jurisdictions. In fact, in some cities, they actually manage entire cities except for police and fire. So they've got a good institutional knowledge of how to do some of these things and do them efficiently. So one of the things they're looking at, of course, is with our various different fleets, can they be consolidated so that your replacement parts are ordered in a more efficient manner? Can you use vehicles for multi-purposes? Are your routes the optimal routes? For example, in snow plowing, we do a really good job in our snow plowing, but is it the best you can do? And there's actually software out there now that can take a look at your system and design the maximum efficient route that you could possibly use. So we don't want to leave any stone unturned in the possibilities of being a more efficient organization. And same thing with our facility managements. We own dozens and dozens of facilities. We want to make sure that we're managing those in the best way possible. We've been moving forward. This has been talked about for years, and for some reason, nothing has ever happened. And we're not gonna finish up this administration with saying that there was nothing that was accomplished in shared services with the Anchorage School District. We're looking at the list that you see there, whether it's our counting functions, our risk management functions, snow removal, purchasing, health insurance is a big one. I mean, we have two large pools of employees. There's no reason that we can't find a way to consolidate our health insurance plans and get great savings because of the size of the pool. And just IT, so there's a number of things that the new superintendent seems to be very, very keen on working with us and getting some of these checked off, and we're going to get her done. You've heard a lot probably about Title 21. These are your land use regulations for anybody that's in the building business, the real estate business, the rental business, or just a concerned citizen who wants to make sure that the aesthetics of our city improve over time. Title 21 is the document that guides all that going forward. And it's been literally a decade process to find a way to properly achieve the balance between aesthetic design and the cost of housing, cost of buildings. And that really is the key point, is finding that balance. And so the Planning and Zoning Commission has finished their work on Title 21. They made numerous amendments to the document, again, trying to find that balance. And now it's in front of the Assembly. And the Assembly is holding committee hearings on it on a weekly basis. And I think by the end of the year, they'll have a document that will be ready for public hearing and ready for vote by the Assembly. So we'll be, one of our goals is to make sure that this does not get passed on to another administration. We're going to finish it this year or early next year at the latest. And for once and for all, we'll have a document that folks will have a clear guideline on what happens with development in Anchorage. One of the things that it will really guide is not so much new development, because you know we're running out of available land for true new development, but the redevelopment of Anchorage, the older neighborhoods that with housing stock that's 60, 70 years old in some cases, how we guide that redevelopment is going to be the key from Title 21. So it's a very important document. And again, I think the final product is going to be something that probably everybody is a little bit unhappy with, which will probably make it a really good document. We're very excited about the 49th State Angel Fund. I think you've probably heard a little bit about this in the news, but this is a U.S. Treasury allocation that we are the only city in America to receive this allocation. And it's $13.2 million. We're using it to leverage other financing that either a small business startup or a business that wants to expand can use these funds and again, help leverage other monies they might have either through other loans, through investment capital. And I was hesitant, to be honest, about taking a federal stimulus allocation like this, but the rules and restrictions on this were so stringent, so tight, that we felt that it was something that we could manage and be successful with. Otherwise, we wouldn't have taken the grant or the allocation. We had our first round of $4.2 million, $4.2 million is the first tranche. The deadline has been reached for applications for that. I think we had about 25 different applicants, including several venture capital funds. And the amount that was requested in various applications is over $17 million, so it more than would accommodate the first tranche of $4.2 million. So it's good. It shows that there's excitement in the community about small business development, and that people are seeing opportunities that this can help them achieve. And so we're very pleased about that. Next year, there'll be another tranche of money, and then, in fact, both of them next year will be finally allocated. So our goal is to, again, help businesses get started, help businesses grow, and then our part will actually hopefully be then withdrawn from the project, because our goal isn't to be a long-term investor. It's mainly to help stimulate job growth and business growth. One of the things we're very excited about is in 2015, it is the centennial of Anchorage, Alaska. 1915 is generally recognized as the first official commissioning of Anchorage, the first chartering of the city. And so in 2015, we're really looking forward to having literally several years worth of events leading up to the 100th anniversary, and very exciting. You only turn 100 once, and for most of us, maybe not even once. So it's very exciting. I think you've seen the announcement, but Susan Duck, who's been leading the Fur Rendezvous for the last number of years and helped turn that into the number one world festival in the world, according to National Geographic, will be leading the centennial efforts on behalf of the city. And just couldn't have a better person who knows how to organize all the different events that are going to be part of this celebration. It's really going to be a tremendous couple years leading up to the 2015. Some of the things, for example, we're very excited next year, 2013, the USS Anchorage, which was christened last year, will be coming to Anchorage for a formal commissioning ceremony. And when you get a ship named after your city, it is a big deal. And if any of you former Navy folks or Marines, you know what this is about. They actually make this a very, very big celebration, and what a great way to kick off the centennial, but with the commissioning of the USS Anchorage. We've got some tremendous events coming to the museum as part of the centennial. The Dena'ina Way of Living exhibit will run from September 2013 through early next year. It will certainly, highlight and inform and celebrate the Dena'ina people and their history here. It'll be followed by a Captain Cook exhibition, a world-class exhibition on the journeys and travails of Captain Cook, particularly his time spent prowling the waters of Alaska. And then, of course, the centennial itself in 2015, the museum will be doing an exhibit on the history of Anchorage. So those are just a taste of what's going to happen during the centennial planning and during the events, because there's literally going to be hundreds of events. Okay, let's talk a little bit about budget. One of the things that in the state of the city we always talk about is how are we doing financially. This kind of shows you the history of the budgets over the last few years. And you've heard me talk about this before, but we were on a spending trend that was simply unsustainable. And so after the crash in 2008, I think everybody realized that we needed to tighten our belt, just like cities across the country. And even so, there's going to be big challenges coming ahead, which I'll talk about in just a little bit. But the city was growing at about a rate of about 8.5% a year. If we had not cut back on spending, we'd be spending just about $100 million more now than we currently are, and where the revenues would have come to support that, nobody knows. So unsustainable, and we had to make adjustments. And so as you can see, in 2012, you know, there has been some increase. 2010, it gives some of the reasons that it went up a little bit between 10 and 11. But we're going to keep working literally every day with between efficiency measures and managing your money as well as we can to make sure that we keep sustainable spending and responsible spending. Part of that is when we talk about the bonds in April, one of the things that we've worked on is decreasing our bond debt. We want Anchorage to be a very modest city in terms of our debt liabilities. And as you can see, we've put forth to the voters very, very modest bond propositions, really focusing on those top items that are our top deferred maintenance, top facility items. So you can see the trend. We've done like we'd have done with the spending. We've tried to keep it much more modest, and we feel that by doing that and showing responsible trends there, you'll continue to support our bonds when we put them out in April, and so far that's been the case. And I think in 2013 you'll be seeing bonds again right around that $30 million level, and again we're going to prioritize what projects make that list, and once again I'll give an advance pitch for hoping for your support. Here's the challenge for 2013, and it's a big one, and we literally work on this every single day, every department sharpening their pencils. The 2012 budget was about $455 million. We've got increases that are fixed increases, and it adds up to about $479 million. Our finance department is constantly tracking anticipated revenues, and they're really good at this. They come within 0.5% when they hit their target. When at the end of the year, how did you do compared to what your projections were? They're always very, very close. So the $30 million gap that you see there is probably a fairly accurate figure. And so we're looking literally at every avenue possible in city government to find savings to make the cuts necessary to balance the budget, because we have no choice. Our budget has to balance. And part of that is going to be working with our employee groups. We want to hear any and all suggestions on how 2013 can be balanced without draconian cuts in all the services that you've come to expect. And when you talk about a $30 million deficit, you know, no one department can shoulder that. It means police, it means fire, it means libraries, it means transit, it means parks. It means virtually every department of the city has to participate in order to balance the budget. We've been in this position for several years now, and we've done a really good job of managing the money so that even in years where we had a projected deficit and we balanced the budget, we've been able actually to come in with unspent revenues at the end of the year. That's kind of the case again. So anyway, we continue, of course, to have online. You can send in your comments on what your suggestions are for balancing the budget. And of course, we do still have Gift Anchorage. If you have a department that is your favorite, whether it's flowers or libraries, you do have the opportunity to make a tax-free donation to your city for one of those departments. Mayor's Education Summit. Last year at this time, when I reported to you on the state of the city, we were planning for an education summit to take a look at the Anchorage School District and to determine ways whether we could become the best school district in the nation. And the first step in accomplishing that was to find out, well, where do we stand? Where is Anchorage in relation to the rest of the country, rest of the world, in terms of our academic performance? And so we did we brought in seven of the top names in the world of education, people with proven record of education reform, either turning school districts around or just leading thinkers on education reform. And in November, we held a two-day summit, which consisted of 100 members of the community. We had teachers and principals, administrators, we had union representatives, we had the chancellor at UAA, the president of APU, business leaders, parents, students, private school owners and operators, just everyone with a stakeholder in education, so that 100 would truly be a balanced representation of who we wanted to participate in the summit and who would be then leadership in moving it forward, and it included legislators, school board members, assembly members. So really wanted to make sure that those folks who could truly help achieve change were involved in the summit itself. We followed the summit with a community dialogue, which was in February, went to 6 different locations, invited the public to come in, and we shared with them the results of the summit so that we could get their input. And then we reconvened the 100 participants in June so that we could truly start looking at a path forward, what would be an action plan to actually achieve real improvement. And so the path forward is going to be interesting. I'm going to show you a video here in just a moment. It's 9 minutes. And it shows you kind of the highlights of the summit. And one of the presenters that you'll hear most prominently is a lady named Katie Haycock, who's the president of the National Education Trust. She's going to give you some statistics on how the Alaska student performs and also the Anchorage School District. And if you have never seen this video before, I urge you to watch it closely. And if you have the opportunity to show it to your coworkers, family, it is well worth it. You can get to it by going to muni.org/education summit. A diverse group of individuals from throughout their Anchorage community came to agreement that we need to significantly improve our local education system and are committed to make it happen. If you look at the great international cities of the world, the common element that they have is they have superior education systems. And that's one of the goals of the summit, is to find out, is there a path forward where Anchorage can truly become a great international city characterized by a superior education system?
The social benefit from an educated community is greater than the personal benefit that any one of us as an individual would ever gain.
We started with the premise that half of our students graduate from high school here are not college ready, not only here in Anchorage, but statewide and nationwide. And that Anchorage sets the low bar for college participation rates for students from low-income families. And that we're seeing these lack of base skills at a very early age, and that's very troubling.
We, in general, believe that we just want to see improvement, that there are a lot of things that we think could be better. Just the idea that we want education to really mean something, and of course we have to figure out what that something's going to be so that we can adapt accordingly.
We need choice to address all the complexities.
I think the biggest thing that we came up overall was that huge diversity of needs we have within our communities and within our schools. What we saw as needing it was some key life skills for success for the future.
One of the concerns were how our community truly rallies around our education system here and our children, and what that means. Really, how important is education in our community and putting our money where our mouth is. The second was, as a nation, what level do we, what status do we give our teachers, and how do we treat our teachers? How do we attract the best teachers?
I want to start by looking at fourth grade reading. Generally speaking, you see good news. In fact, the state of Alaska reports to about 80% of its parents every year of fourth graders, and their kids are doing just fine in reading. So I want to show you what happens when those same children take the national exam in reading. Only 25%, it turns out, are actually proficient in reading. Mastering solid basic mathematics by the end of grade 8 is also hugely important to children's futures. Well, once again, every year, about 70% of 8th grade kids and their parents here in Alaska get the news their kids are doing just fine. What happens when those same children take the national exam? Only roughly half are performing at the fine level. How do you compare with other states? Let me show you. Here's fourth grade reading, all kids, all states. State on the left doing the best, state on the right doing the worst. Difference between best and worst is usually about 2 full grade levels in achievement, whereas Alaska, last in the country. How about white kids in Alaska compared to white kids in other states? 6th from bottom. Alaska Native kids compared to American Indian Alaska Native kids in other states? Alaska at the bottom. Low-income kids compared to low-income kids in other states? Alaska at the bottom. Middle-class kids compared to middle-class kids in other states? Alaska at the bottom. You're not Alaska, though. You're one district, in fact, a very large one within the state of Alaska. So how you doing? When you look at eighth grade math, about the same. When you look at 10th grade mathematics, a little bit lower than the state as a whole. When you look at 10th grade reading, a little stronger than the state as a whole. So the bottom line is pretty straightforward. You rank below the national average in a country that ranks below the international average, and you have to decide whether that's the place you want to be. I know I gave you what for many of you was pretty depressing news, but if you bring the sort of can-do spirit that made Alaska what it is to ed reform, you can bring about big improvements for your kids, all kinds of kids, very quickly.
One of the things that may be necessary to affect change might be changes in local ordinances, state statutes, maybe even the Constitution, and you don't affect those kind of changes unless you have an entire community behind your efforts.
Whether it's charter, traditional public, magnet, private, parochial, whatever, it's great teaching and more of it. I have never found a great teacher who will go to a school with an ineffective leader.
The Finns understand that the future of law, business, medicine, engineering, banking depends significantly on the quality of elementary education. You've got to make that down payment.
Recruiting the best and the brightest and retaining them and mm-hmm. cultivating that culture within our district. And right back over here to higher recruitment, better teachers, you have teachers that feel supported by the community. They want to do a good job. They want to make great students.
If given the thought experiment, as a parent, here's the room with the mediocre teacher,
right,
with all the books and computers, et cetera, and here's the empty room with the strong teacher, mm-hmm. we already know where we'd go on that. Mm-hmm. There's an inherent value to the strong teacher that outmatches those extrinsic factors.
Everybody in Anchorage needs to know that they are part of the educational community. They have a responsibility for the future of this community and the future of this country, and that responsibility lies within the children in this community.
Is it 65% of Anchorage do not have children in school? Your outreach has to also show value to those people.
We want everyone in the community to have a voice, especially with education. And we want also to tell not only the good things about the Anchorage School District, but we want honesty in education, telling everyone the whole story, what our issue is.
I don't believe college is for every child. I do believe the skills to go to college are for every child.
High standards and high expectations of students and the people who work for the students.
And if you're going to make changes in the K through 12 generally in Anchorage, you've got to figure out what it is that causes them either to be successful or to trip up once they get to college.
This is where every state's proficiency score sits on the NAEP scale. Alaska's statement of where it has put its proficient score is the fifth from the bottom in the country. When we say our kids are proficient, this is what we mean.
You know, you can anticipate that if we move toward a higher overarching set of expectations for our students and for our system, that's going to be challenging. It's going to move from some state of whatever level of mediocrity that we have now to a higher level of outcomes and performance, and demands on students and our system will mean that some are going to fail initially.
The single most important predictor of whether kids not get into college, but whether they succeed in college, isn't their SAT or ACT score, isn't their rank in class, isn't their GPA, it's the quality and intensity of the high school courses they took.
School choice is letting parents and students choose from a variety of schools and school providers instead of essentially being assigned to a school. You in Alaska have one of the most restrictive charter laws in the country.
If you're turning away 80% of the people who want to go to a school, why aren't there more programs like Chugach optional?
We want to be able to incorporate in the Anchorage School District other options for parents. And with having those choices that we emphasize in here will help to expand education, which is what we want to promote.
Let the parents and kids choose what they want and give more of what seems to be in high demand and take away what there's an echo in because no one's wanting to go.
First of all, we wanted to thank the mayor. No matter what our suspicions may have been coming into this, and I think we all wondered what we were doing, we believe that he is committed and has brought together the very best in Anchorage here to try and make a difference, and we appreciate him doing that.
What we've learned from experience around the country is that good leaders in school systems need outside pressure in order to move change further, faster. So don't hold back, right? Organize to support education, but demand quality education. That's the best thing you can do to give the leaders in your system the leverage they need to do the hard work of change.
Well, if you're like me, those statistics were stunning when we first had the presentations. There's obviously pockets of excellence in the Anchorage School District, and involved parents can get a great education if they work so close with their kids. But overall, as you can see, we have a huge, huge challenge. And one of the things that is, I guess, a bright note is that the Anchorage School District has already decided to raise the bar on student performance by going to the Common Core standards, which most of the other states have adopted, and essentially sets the bar much higher for what we consider to be proficient. And when, as you saw Mr. Wiltoff report, the fifth lowest in the nation in terms of what we say is proficient. And so the outcomes were, again, we need to set the bar higher. We need to do a much better job of putting the best teachers in every classroom. We need to get the community deeply involved in this so that you can truly achieve change. And it just, there's probably no higher goal for our community than to make sure that we move this forward. The path forward is going to include probably the formation of an advocacy group to do just what Katie Haycock said at the end, and that is keep the pressure on. Let's keep moving the ball forward. Let's make sure that we make the changes necessary. And as a community, you know, again, there's no better investment you can make. So I'll stop right there. And just for everybody's note, there was no public dollars spent on the Education Summit. It was all underwritten by corporations here in Anchorage, and every one of them shares the same commitment. You heard Don Vance, the president of APU, talk about 50% of the incoming freshmen essentially need to be remediated in order to be incoming freshmen. And the private sector is finding the same thing, which is why I think they were so keen to underwrite this effort, is that they're hiring and very discouraging sometimes in order to find entry-level employees who just simply don't have the basic skills to perform entry-level employee work. So again, we've got a big challenge ahead of us, but we're committed to making sure that there's a significant change. Dr. Browder, the new superintendent, he, I think, is going to be a great advocate for this. He's already, we've had numerous meetings with him, and he comes from a school district in Florida where there was 80,000 kids. We have about 48,000. And not only did he cut the budget, but he raised the performance. And so I think he might be the right guy at the right time for us. With that, I'll stop there. Thank you very much for your attention and answer any questions you might have. Thanks.
This is KESKA Anchorage, and you're listening to Addressing Alaskans with Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan. He gave his annual State of the City address at the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce Make It Monday Forum on August 20th. Following his presentation, Mayor Sullivan responded to questions submitted by audience members.
Well, thank you, Mayor Sullivan, for a great update. I have just a few questions here for you. And we'll start off with a topic that actually received a number of requests for your input on, and that is ballot measure number 2. And it states here, you recently said publicly that you will vote no on ballot measure number 2. Can you be more specific about why you think the initiative is bad for Anchorage in particular?
Well, thank you. Yeah, ballot 2, which forms the Coastal Zone Management organization and its related bureaucracies and layers. As I've read through it, I found it confusing. I don't think legislating by initiative is particularly the best option. And when you consider that Anchorage and MATSU, you know, the two largest population areas in the entire state, only have one seat on the board that would be formed, I think that basically leaves us well underrepresented. And again, overall, I don't think the ballot measure is a good, clean piece of legislation.
Okay. Going to ballot measure number 1. On next Tuesday's ballot, we'll raise the residential property tax exemption to $50,000. What's your position on this issue?
Yeah, I oppose that as well. We really do not support any sort of exemptions, because all you're doing is shifting the property tax burden to somebody else. If you exempt one property owner, you're still collecting the same amount of property tax, which means somebody else just picked up the cost for your exemption. Now, I'm fine with the senior and disabled veteran exemption as it exists now, but extending to all residential property owners to $50,000, there's some unintended consequences. Again, you shift it to the business community will react by raising their prices, and you're going to pay one way or the other. The second thing is apartments aren't exempt. They don't receive the exemption because they're not a single or two-family home, which means every apartment owner in this town just got a property tax increase. And what happens when apartment owners get a property tax increase? They raise their rents. And so you just hit your lowest socioeconomic group with a rent increase in exchange for the property tax exemption. So a lot of unintended consequences when you have exemptions. We typically refer to them as the shift and shaft. It gets shifted from one person and somebody else gets the shaft. So.
Okay. We'll keep our eyes open for that. Okay, with the Ship Creek development, are there plans to connect the Ship Creek bike path to the Coastal Trail bike path?
Yeah, great question. We have the Ship Creek Trail and the Tony Knowles Coastal Trail. They do not connect, and part of the plan is we'd like to do a signature boardwalk there so that you do have connectivity between the two, but also that one feature would lend itself towards it's a really nice walk by the ocean, and as that area gets more developed, that could be really a key signature feature.
Did the city receive funding for cameras in police substations? If so, how is this project progressing?
George, how are we doing on that? Oh,
George left.
George left. I knew that question was coming.
Kind of looks like his handwriting, too.
I tell you what, they can call the Microsoft.
Okay. Great. Okay, we'll make this the last question, which is, I think, a good segue after the video about education. What is the plan to increase education levels, and how can the average citizen or business person help?
Well, there's a number of ways. The Anchorage School Board really is the group that dictates policy for the district. And so our school board members need to be engaged. They need to constantly work on several things. Now, the first thing they did, again, raising the standards to the Common Core standards, was a great first step. I mean, so goal number one, raise the bar. Let's demand more of our students. You set the bar low, believe me, they'll hit the lowest bar you can set. So you need to set the standard higher. When you compare ourselves to our international neighbors, whether it's Korea, Japan, Finland, they set the bar so much higher, and their kids are hitting it. There's no reason our kids can't hit it. Next thing we need to do, and this is what the Finns discovered, they really turned around an entire country's education system, and then one of the first things they did was they demand a master teacher in every classroom, which means when you go to their teaching colleges, of which they eliminated about two-thirds of them in the country, the teaching colleges that remain are superior teaching colleges. They're a rigorous curriculum, far more rigorous than what it takes to get a teaching degree in America. And by doing that, they've elevated the status of the profession to that of those other disciplines that require higher schooling, whether it's an architect or an engineer or a doctor. The reason that those are considered to be these higher level respected professions is the rigor of the curriculum they go through to become a practitioner in that field. You do the same thing with teaching. It must be a much more rigorous curriculum. Then when they do hire the teachers, it is very competitive. Only the best of the best get hired. And then they mentor them to make sure they truly are gifted in the classroom. So that's about 90% of it. If every single classroom in Anchorage had what we would consider to be a master teacher, you would see instant results. Can you do that overnight? No, it's a decade. It's maybe two decades. One of the things that needs to change, and this is happening all over the country as well, is even some of the most liberal mayors in America, Tony Villagrosa from LA and others, have come to the conclusion that the last in, first out hiring practices, where you might have a young superstar teacher, and unfortunately, if there's ever a budget challenge, they're the ones that are laid off. Well, maybe someone who's not performing as well gets to keep their job. And so LIFO, they call it, last in, first out, that's being changed in school systems all across the country so that you can attract those bright young teachers and retain them.
Okay, very good. Again, thank you for joining us, and thanks for doing a tremendous job leading our city. Thank you, Mayor Sullivan.
This is KSKA Anchorage, and you've been listening to Addressing Alaskans with Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan. He responded to questions from the audience following his State of the City address, recorded at a Make It Monday forum hosted by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce at the Denina Center in Anchorage on August 20th, 2012. You can download today's program or subscribe to free podcasts of Addressing Alaskans at alaskapublic.org. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, just go to alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page. Addressing Alaskans' theme song, Trampolines, is by Patrick Lee. This has been a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. For KSKA, I'm Kristen Spack. Thanks for listening.